bless the name of Jesus this morning. We bless you for the music ministry this morning that has reminded us of the God whom we serve. Amen, somebody.
Amen,
amen. We bless you all this morning, and feels great to stand here on this sunny Sunday morning, first Sunday in the month of March. My. Somebody better look out. This year is trying to get away from us again. Amen. Bless you, Deacon Phil, for reading the scripture this morning that I would do my best to bring to your hearing through the preached word on this Communion Sunday. You had not noticed the words, the scripture, the passages that were read come from our communion ritual that we do month after month. My hope and my prayer is that you understand better by the time this sermon is done.
Amen.
That he did it for you.
Amen.
Amen, somebody. Let us pray. Eternal God, our holy and righteous Father, God, we have come this morning lifting up your mighty name, God, and we just thank you, Lord, for your presence here in this place. God, I thank you for those who have gathered here in person and those who have joined us online that have come to hear from you. And so now, God, I'm asking that you will decrease me, that you will increase you in me, that people will not hear me, but they will hear you, and that they will be better for having come this way. Now, God, I bless you. I bless you. I thank you. I honor you. I love you. And I ask right now that you will bring that anointing, Lord, that will make easy preaching in this house. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. And everybody just said amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We heard the word from the Message Bible, which is a paraphrase Bible that Paul has written to the Corinthian church, saying, let me go over with you again. Again. Anybody ever had to tell somebody again?
Yeah.
What goes on in the Lord's Supper and why it is so centrally important. Paul goes on to say, I have received instructions from the Master himself and pass them on to you. The Master, Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, or on the night of his betrayal, took bread, having given thanks, broke it and said, this is my body broken for you. Do this to remember me. After the supper, he did the same thing, Pastor Keith. This cup is my blood, my new covenant with you. And so each time you drink this cup, I want you to remember me. And so as I began, I started thinking about Paul's message to the Corinthians, and I was wondering what went wrong. According to the text, Paul says, I already told you this, But let me tell you this again. And so have you all ever wondered, have you ever just thought about how we as humankind, how we as human beings, as flesh and blood, have seemed to develop the capacity and the propensity to take something that was meant to be special or significant or impactful and turned it into something totally different.
Go ahead, say it.
Than what it started out being.
Amen.
Now I'm going to give you a for instance. I know that's not the only for instance. There are many for instances. But as I started thinking, I thought about not too long ago the Thanksgiving holiday. Now, as I recall, it used to be a time where families and friends would come to celebrate the blessing of having food, plenty of it, amen, somebody. Having time with family, you would celebrate the harvest season. That's when we celebrate Thanksgiving. And it's the time of just being able to come together and enjoy each other's company. Most people look forward to it because it was viewed as a special time with a big special meal. You all know what that means. There are few things in our world that point to friendship and fellowship more than folks who can gather around the table and share a meal together. Amen. Somebody. Now, I don't want to be misunderstood, but because many people can still come together and do just what Thanksgiving has been down through the years. Thanksgiving still, if you would check with the AAA people, it is notably the most traveled day of the year. People will board planes and trains and buses and boats to get together with their loved ones. But there was a time in recent memory where commercialism was a huge distraction and stood in the way of the celebration. Why do you say that, Pastor? Because the Black Friday sales that used to really take place on Friday started creeping into the Thursday dinner time when family and friends were sitting around the table. I know you don't have to tell me you used to tip out and then go to the store. Just for I'll be right back. But can I say, heaven forbid you hang out with the family and enjoy quality time when you know Macy had those shoes on sale that you've been watching for a while. Heaven forbid we sit and maybe enjoy a second piece of apple pie or a big hunk of chocolate cake if Best Buy and Walmart put that 65-inch flat screen. And how many times have you heard the experts tell us how to get along at our family gatherings on the Today Show and Good Morning America as we get closer to the holidays? It gives one the impression that we expect that there will be some kind of a disagreement at the dinner table. There will be some level of disrespect if we bring our politics or religion or our personal views on those hot topics, you know, same-sex relationships and the legalization of marijuana. Somebody gonna say something. It's gonna upset the apple cart, and there the blow up begins. So we need it to tune in, Brother Rico, and get some tips and some strategies on how to get along from the psychologist and the therapist so that we can make it through that day. Now, in most of our homes, it didn't start out that way. It didn't begin like that, but somehow we've gravitated in that direction. Where we lose focus on the main thing, come here, somebody. When we lose focus on that main thing, we can run into some trouble. In my example, the main thing was the coming together to celebrate the love and enjoy the fellowship and the bond that we share between us. And it was no different back in the ancient days in Paul's writing. That world came together. They liked to share a meal because it was a sign of a deep relationship. It was a time and a tool that they could use to build fellowship one with another. You all recall Jesus would on occasion go and have meals with sinners, those who people looked down on, those who people wouldn't be caught dead with. But Jesus fellowship and he broke bread with those people. But in Corinth, this city, this place that Paul has written to, when it came to the Lord's Supper, the people had lost sight of the main thing and they put their selfishness in front of their selflessness. They were supposed to come together and share in the spirit of community and the spirit of unity and the common thread that connected them, but something got in the way. So when we open up the first book to the Corinthian church and we land our eyes on chapter number 11, we see Paul writing as he sent this letter to that church in Corinth, and it doesn't sound like they were sitting around with each other saying, I love you and you love me and we're a happy family. As a matter of fact, because the tension is so thick between them, Paul wastes no time diving into their problems. And you can read that in verses 17 through 22. See, he said he heard about what was happening in their time of worship. And Paul, like Paul can do, called them out on that division, on their getting drunk at the table, not eating together. In case you're not aware what was happening in Corinth when the Corinthian church came together, you see, the wealthy folk would show up earlier, or the wealthy folk would bring food, and they would eat all they wanted and drink all they wanted, and they didn't save anything for the latecomers, and the people who did not have much, they did not get anything. And Paul was outraged at their behavior because they acted out and they cut up when they were supposed to be celebrating the sacrifice of God's only begotten Son, and the impact his sacrifice had made on their lives, when all their hearts and minds were to be focused on Jesus. Instead, they focused on themselves. Somehow, you all, what was supposed to be a sacred practice in the church has become a shameful circus. Somehow what started out as an intimate time of worship and remembrance of the one who gave it all turned into a chaotic hot mess about the ones who had it all. Which caused humiliation and degradation to the ones who had nothing. Pastor Keith, we might call this a first century version of Tyler Perry's The Haves and the Have-Nots. This was the news. This was the kind of thing that Paul had heard about. It came within earshot of Paul, and Paul, being who he is, said, "You cannot go on this way when you come together to worship the Lord." Paul says, "I can't praise you for this one. You don't get any kudos for how you're acting over there. But what I can do is remind you one more time of that which I already told you." And Paul begins to recount those words that Jesus spoke to his disciples at that final night when they gathered around in the upper room just before he took that trip down Calvary's cross. Paul begins to remind the people that on the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread. He blessed it. He broke it. And he serves it to his disciples. And he called it his body, which has been broken for you.
Amen.
Paul goes on to the rest of the story, saying, after they had eaten the main meal, Jesus takes the cup of wine and he says that this is the new covenant between God and his people. And I'm sealing this covenant with my blood, not a goat's blood. Not a lamb's blood, not a cow's blood, but with my blood which was shed for you. Oh, don't you love it, church, when God makes a covenant with his people? Because covenant really is a divinely created bond. It's better than super glue. It far exceeds gorilla glue. A bond that's created by God is a bond that only we're going to break, because he's going to always hold up his end of the bargain. It is a bond which God administers his kingdom program through. When we operate under God's covenant, church, we become the recipient of the blessings of the covenant. And he says, and every time you eat the bread, and every time you come together to drink this cup, remember, I did it for you. So do it in remembrance of me. People of God, Jesus reminds us this morning that when we come together to eat the bread and to drink of the cup, that is a reminder. I came to tell you that we've got to look at this lenses, a personal lens and a corporate lens. I did it for you from a personal standpoint. It's saying to you as an individual that this is your own, your personal time to reflect on your relationship with Christ. It is a powerful time of spiritual intimacy. Come on, somebody. Yes. With the Lord, in the same way that physical intimacy serves that special time between a husband and a wife. Come on, somebody. I did it for you. Yes. From a personal perspective, is designed to take us deeper in our love for Christ. I'm taking a deep dive into who he is in our lives. I'm saying well beyond our normal thank you Jesus kind of prayers and our Christian cliches that lets the world know we go to church. Jesus said, I died that you might live. I did it for you. But can I just say, if we will be true to the context of the text, somebody help me, we cannot forget to look through this as a corporate lens. You see, the corporate lens is that lens that will reveal the Lord's Supper that points us towards a spiritual communion in the body of Christ. This corporate lens shows us that through this act of worship that we are being shaped by the gospel of Jesus Christ. He says, I did it for you. When you hear that word, you will come to understand that Christ's message was and is to you. I'm speaking the collective you. In other words, it's for us.
Amen.
You see. This is why Paul told the church at Corinth that you collectively, you've got to do better than what you're doing. You must come to the table as a collective body with the hearts and your minds pointed towards Jesus. I don't really care what's going on the outside, but when you come to the table, you gotta be focused on him. On the night he was betrayed, he took the bread, he blessed it, and he broke it, and he said, this is my body. And it's broken for all of you, the rich and the poor, the black and the brown, the red and the white. I did it for you, you who are male and female, and even those who are confused about your sexual identity.
Thank you, Lord.
So that on that great day, when I come back to receive my people, you will not be condemned for all your wrongdoing.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I did it.
Yeah.
I did it for you.
Thank you, Lord.
So that the devil will know he is a defeated
yes, yes, yes.
And he has no power over you. Somebody needs to know. He says, I did it.
Yes,
yes. I did it for you.
Yes, Lord.
So you would not think that there is a separation between the big eyes and the little you. So that when we come together, you just don't go through the motions. But you come together acknowledging my presence. Come, people. We gotta acknowledge his presence. In other words, as the singer said, know that he's in the room. He's in the room. Where can I go if he's not? He's in the room. He says, I want you to come in knowing that I'm here, and I want you to come understanding my sacrifice.
Yes.
I didn't have to do it.
Yes, amen.
But I did it.
Amen.
For you.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
And to show the world the unity of my church.
Yes, yes, yes.
I did it.
Amen.
For you.
Thank you, Lord.
And the people of God.